part of my Jim's introduction indicated I've worked across the West when I was in my 20s, which is true, and I spent three seasons up here in the North Cascades National Park as a ranger and leading trail crews with high school volunteers. And this basin, this river system, these lands right around here are one of my favorite to visit and have many fond stories and memories. And so I welcome the opportunity to be up here and spend a little bit of time up here. So, and I do really want to thank you all for, you know, spending a few minutes today talking about salmon recovery and its various tendrils and connections. I do want to, I brought a couple gifts. I don't know if there's a library at the here, but I wanted to I'll just get that out of the way first off. Two books that I thought might be of interest. One is a new collection of salmon poetry. I Sing the Salmon Home. It was put together, edited by Rena Priest. Some of you may know her name. She was a recent Washington State Poet Laureate, Lummi Nation member, and amazing poet and wonderful person. So that's a great collection. And then I don't know if anyone's familiar with the Children of the Setting Sun Productions, also based up in Bellingham area, run and led by Lummi tribal members, but also others. And they put together a wonderful book earlier this year called Jezentel, Living Wisdom from Coast Salish Elders, that I thought, again, might be, it's wonderful photographs and interviews and stories from the Coast Salish elders who are here today. So gifts and appreciation for being here today. We have, I think, about 25 minutes left for me, and I, of course, could talk all afternoon on these topics because they are of you know, just deep meaning, and much of my life's work has been focused around salmon recovery in the Pacific Northwest, and the reasons for it are I got sort of introduced to salmon in various ways and then started working at the Save Our Wild Salmon Coalition, which started, I think, in 91 or 92 in response to the endangered listings under the Endangered Species Act of Snake River fish. They were the first salmon in the country, to be listed under the ESA. There are now 13 populations identified under the ESA in the Columbia Basin at risk of extinction. All four of the Snake River stocks that remain today are at risk. I just want to sort of highlight, I bet what many people in this room already know, that salmon are so much more than a fish in the Northwest. First and foremost, their reciprocal relationship with tribal peoples goes back time immemorial, and I don't think can be sort of properly described in words, certainly by me, the depth of that relationship and the importance of protecting, restoring, these populations into the future. Let me know if someone else needs to jump on. I think I want to say a few things and then open things up so we can have a discussion, but I did want to sort of start. Salmon, beyond that, of course, salmon are so critical to the ecosystems, both in freshwater and in saltwater. They support and are critically essential to southern resident orcas, which are also critically endangered, primarily due to lack of fish. Chinook, they need more fish. They've been involved in a reciprocal relationship for hundreds of thousands of years. And the orcas are in trouble with the fish as well. And of course, they support fishing communities and culture, and they're really a defining feature of the Pacific Northwest. As a result of our actions as Northwesterners, settlers here in the last century or so, many populations are gone. And those that remain, many are at risk of disappearing too. We have a, I think, I'm gonna jump ahead. The Columbia Basin was once the most productive salmon landscape on the planet. It would see 10 to 20 million fish coming back into the basin every year, feeding people and ecosystems and fish and wildlife. And you know, those populations today return at, you know, 1 or 2 or 3% historic levels. And the benefits they bring to the region, of course, are tremendously diminished for tribal people, non-tribal people, ecosystems, and so forth. But the basin is also home to some of our biggest restoration opportunities, because there's still some very good habitat available if we can step aside, make some changes, and allow the fish to restored access to the fish. The Snake River Basin, of course, has been the sort of heart of a long debate in the region since the 90s. The dams were the last ones in the basin to be last big dams to be built in the basin. When they were, before they were built, it was recognized that doing so would have a devastating effect on the last really strong populations in the basin. Of course it did. Populations plummeted and they've never recovered. Since the early 90s, when the Endangered Species Act kicked in, there's been a very robust debate about how we manage, mitigate, change, make changes to primarily in the Columbia Basin. The main driver of extinction and loss is the federal hydro system. It was built without consent or consideration or consultation with the tribes, of course, and it delivered benefits to the region, to be sure. It also came with a whole lot of costs, and I think we have opportunities right now for various reasons to sort of help rebalance that those costs and benefits, and do so in a way that is far more just, especially with tribes in mind, and can help protect and restore some of these populations that are at risk. We are in a moment right now, I think, of both urgency and opportunity. And I think I want to say a couple things about that, and then share a few things that are happening sort of right now, that some of which you all have participated in recently, and then some upcoming events that I'm hoping folks here can participate in and support. You know, back in 2021, a conservative Republican in Idaho put forward a fairly controversial proposal, which is something advocates and tribes have been calling for years, which is a big solution: removing four lower Snake River dams, restoring the salmon, replacing their services, making good on our nation's promises to tribes, and doing so in a manner that moves everyone forward together, right? So we would replace the services the dams provide as part of this big transition package, so that agricultural interests, the energy system, that those kinds of services the dams provide, which are real but replaceable, are in fact replaced. That's kicked off a big conversation in the region in a way that we hadn't seen before. And what happened was other politicians leaned in, including folks in Oregon. Kate Brown was governor at the time. She's now termed out and has been replaced by Tina Kotek, who has maintained Kate Brown's legacy and Oregon's legacy as a champion for salmon recovery. Earl Blumenauer is a congressman in Oregon. He's been a leader. And then in Washington, of course, Senator Murray and Governor Inslee teamed up in the spring of 2021, made commitments that they were going to address this problem and this crisis, and then move forward with a lot of conversations with tribes, with non-tribes, with various stakeholders. They put together a report that came out about a year ago that recognized that, you know, salmon are on the verge of extinction. Extinction is not an option, and that the dam services can be replaced, and that we should move forward and do that. And so what happened after that, the legislature this year funded for the first time at the tune of almost $8 million, planning processes, replacement planning processes for energy, for transportation, and for irrigation. Those are the main services the dams provide, and those planning processes are now underway. So we're in a moment right now of, you know, the urgency is that the salmon and orcas and, you know, the communities that rely on these are running out of time. The opportunity is right now, because of work on the part of a lot of people, tribes are leading in many respects right now, and lots of other people and organizations are supporting that leadership, and the politicians finally, after years of work on the parts of people in this room and many others, they're paying attention and they're leaning in and they're making commitments. The Biden administration is a significant player. The dams are federal dams, and the Biden administration for the last 2 years has been involved in settlement talks with the Nez Perce tribe, other tribes, with conservation and fishing plaintiff organizations, many of which are members of our coalition, and others, to for the first time after 30 years of litigation, where federal plans have been, you know, put together. We've challenged those plans as inadequate, and the courts have agreed and rejected them as illegal. We've been in this merry-go-round, and finally the politicians are leaning in and saying, we're gonna fix this. And so, you know, that has come about because of tribes and because of the advocates who have been leaning in on this for so long. And I think I just want to recognize, I haven't worked closely with you all, but we work a lot with the faith community. SOS works with Earth Ministry, and some of you must know Deb Cruz up in Bellingham, because she's been a leader on these sorts of justice issues, the intersection of justice and tribes and environment for many years. I'll just thank you all for the ways that you have leaned in as an organization, maybe as individuals as well, and then underscore, I think, the tremendous importance and value of bringing faith voices to the conversation around these issues of justice and tribes and salmon recovery and so forth. That everything's connected, and I think your voices in particular, among others, are especially compelling to policymakers and appeal in sort of unique and powerful ways on issues around justice that are hard for people, policymakers, and people to ignore. And so I just want to thank you for that and encourage you to stay part of the conversation and stay active. These talks that have been underway for 2 years almost were slated to end on the 31st of August. There was a deadline there, and at that time there was either going to be some kind of announcement and resolution or an extension or back to court. And what happened then on the 31st was announcement of an extension of the talks for 2 more months. So those talks are now deadlined for October 31st. And so right now is a particularly sort of sensitive, you know, pivotal moment where I think, sort of continuing to keep the drumbeat up and the pressure up and the support up for Senator Murray, for the Biden administration, for Senator Cantwell to lean in and help move this forward and take advantage of this sort of moment of opportunity we have right now to put together a big solution that solves big problems in our region. Important part of which, of course, is beginning to honor the promises this country made to Northwest tribes, which it has not done very well in a whole host of fronts. I was at I was speaking with, not sure, I can't remember who it was, earlier, you know, just before we got started. There's a indigenous-led tour that just got started yesterday in Olympia. I was down there at the United Church of Christ, and it was predominated by tribal speakers, a Yakima, Joe DeGaudi, the executive director of Earth Ministry, Reverend A.C. Churchill, and others. And we spent about 3 hours together in the presence of this new sculpture that was put together by a Lummi artist, called All Our Relations. That's the name of the tour. I've got my button still here, or my sticker still from yesterday. I kept it on for today. And it was an incredibly powerful gathering. The gathering in the church with the tribes was, I think, particularly powerful. That tour will continue on into Portland, Pasco, Spokane, Lewiston, Nez Perce country. The Nez Perce, in many ways, are really leading this conversation because that's their traditional lands. And then it comes to Seattle on the 1st of October. And there's going to be, you can check out our website if you haven't heard about the All Our Relations Tour. It's a free event at Seattle Town Hall. It has a capacity of 700. It will be really powerful. I am certain that the speakers are regionally and nationally known, largely tribal, but also includes Sally Jewell, the former Secretary of Interior. And I would encourage you all to come and help spread the word and, sort of be there in support and solidarity. And I think be prepared to be moved and then further engaged. So, that's coming right while these talks are still occurring. And you can bet that messages about this journey are getting back to D.C. and getting to other participants in these talks. This now is really a time to lean in and provide the sort of support and pressure to help us take advantage, help the Biden administration feel like they've got no choice but to do the right thing before the 31st of October, and provide a roadmap, a way to sort of figure out some big solutions for our region that we've been grappling with for three decades, if not longer. So what else do I want to say? I'm not sure what my time is, but I want to leave some time for questions and that sort of thing. So maybe I'll just pause there and say, again, thank you for being here. Thanks for the past work, and I hope that you and we can work together moving forward in a unified way to help make some changes that are needed in the region around our environment, around tribal justice, social justice, and communities.